Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, hello out there in radio and TV land.
Yes, and hello, Dr. Chris.
Hello, Dr. Art. I always get happy when that music comes on. It's
me too.
Yeah.
It's a new reality starting.
And here we are again.
Yep.
It's one of our favorite things to do. Hello, everybody. I am Dr. Chris Winzi. This is Dr. Art Emmerich, and we're here to share with you solutions to everyday challenges, whether it be, what are you doing with your hand, Dr. Art?
I was seeing if I was in focus or not.
Yeah. Ah, you are. I can see you fully.
Good. Okay. Yes. I'm trying to get focused here.
Okay. Well, he's usually out of focus, so this is good. So whether it be that you have anxiety, whether you're having stress, we help you with peak performance, which is what tonight's topic. In fact, it's called Master Your Mind to have peak performance. We have all kinds of guests, experts, successful authors, best-selling authors, all of whom are presenting solutions to everyday challenges with mind, body, and spirit. With free gifts to offer you at the end so that you can actually implement things at home. And so it's a gift of love from us to the world, because we decided to start this show because we could only help one-on-one just so much in our practices, and we wanted to help a lot more people. So here we are, and gosh, we've been doing this for 6 months now, Dr. Art.
It's hard to believe. It really is. So fast.
Yeah. And now we're seasoned radio hosts.
Absolutely. 6 months ought to do it, right?
Absolutely. We're learning from the School of Hard Knocks. We have yet to get even more technical. There's probably some things we need to do to upgrade ourselves, but... tonight's topic is a really good one. It's Master Your Mind for Peak Performance. Your mind is one of your most powerful assets when mastered and honed, but it becomes a tyrant when you let it run wild with erroneous thoughts. And so we want to help you hone your mind for the best in you to come out in any situation, whether it be a test, whether it be on a team, whether it be in sports, whether it be, and when I say team, it could be a corporate team, it could be a sports team, or just sports like golf or tennis or something of that nature. There are many areas in which people are looking to create peak performance. So that's our topic tonight. What I want to do first, Dr. Art, and then I will certainly let you have a word in edgewise, is I want to thank our subscribers, because they help us keep the lights on, and they show us that you really like the show, that you're getting value. And that's so, so vital to us, that you're getting value from the show and that you're really benefiting from listening to us, because that's our goal. So thank you, subscribers. You can, if you get value from the show tonight and you'd like to be a subscriber to help us keep our lights on, so to speak, then you just go to our show page and there is a link to click. And I believe, Thomas, you're showing it on the screen. And we appreciate very, very much. So with that, Dr. Art, it is time for your tip of the week.
Okay.
And I always look forward to that.
All right. The one word title is focus. And I have a slide that I show to all my clients, and it has a picture of a little garden plot of some beautiful roses growing on the left-hand side of the picture, and some beautiful, healthy-looking poison ivy growing on the other side of the picture. And so the question is, if you watered and fertilized the poison ivy, and you sing to it and play beautiful music to it and say nice things about it, but you let the roses just dry up, you don't water them, you don't feed them, you just ignore them, you know. Which one do you think is going to thrive?
Well, it's obvious.
Yeah. And so the same is true about the poisonous thoughts that we have and the healthy thoughts that we have. What we find out is that every entity needs energy in order to survive. Even rocks have to have the cohesive energy of the structure to hold themselves. So don't complain about your life not having roses if you're just feeding the poison ivy. The way you can pattern interrupt poison thoughts is to stop thinking about them. That deprives them of energy, and soon they dry up and blow away. So please focus on the roses.
Well, I love that. And I have to admit that I did have a pet rock, by the way, when I was in my 20s.
I hope you talked to it a lot.
Well, you know, I believe in all of that. I believe in the energy of love and the energy of caring. And what you're saying makes so much sense. In fact, one thing that we really know, and we've talked about this on other shows, is that when you speak to your body, it listens. The cells are alive and they listen. And so you can make yourself well and you can make yourself ill. And it's totally, you know, you have the power. And this is not to discount serious illnesses and the need for medical care or anything of that nature, but it is so much easier for your body to heal while you're getting any kind of care or treatment you're getting if you are feeding it good thoughts. And so, you know, that reminds me too, and then we'll get to peak performance, but I think this also is pertinent that Dr. Bernie Siegel wrote a book. I can't remember the title, but it was about exceptional patients. And these were cancer patients who did visualization of their white blood cells eating the cancer cells and or other visualizations where their bodies responded. And it was a revolutionary thing at the time where mind-body-spirit connections were just beginning to really be recognized. And so it's really powerful.
And just think, if you remembered all the time that you have an army of 50 trillion entities, that's your cells, that are waiting for some comment from you to either encourage or discourage what they're doing, and they respond. They really do. So why would you not want 50 trillion helpers to get your life ordered, to get what you want, to make things happen that you want to happen?
Exactly.
It requires some communication that you do body talk. Talk to your organs, talk to your body, to your blood, to your heart. Just let them know that you're aware of the hard work they do and you appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised what will happen when you do that.
That's awesome. Awesome. Mm. Well, so what do you think, Dr. Art, that most people think when we say the words peak performance? I think that there are different definitions, different ideas of what that is. What is your opinion?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I was going to advertise myself as a performance coach. And everybody said, don't do that because people think of sexual performance and that's not exactly what you want to specialize in.
Mm-hmm.
That was correct. So I did not use that. Peak performance makes it a little bit more obvious that it's something other than that. Mm-hmm. But to me, it is alignment. It's all the parts working together toward the same goal. It's hard to perform well when you got parts that are not contributing anything at all. They're just watching, or they're working against. And so getting all your resources lined up so that all of you, all 50 trillion of you is working toward the same objective. To me, that brings peak performance. You've got everybody on board, all your entities on board.
Love it. Love it.
How about you? What is your take on that?
Well, you know, when I think of peak performance, I think back to my 20s when I bought a program from Tony Robbins, and it was about peak performance. And at the time, it just seemed so rah-rah, male executive, male energy, you know, how can you really conquer the business world? Mm. And so I never really related to it because it seemed so much a hard driving. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are hard driving. In fact, I'm an Aries with Taurus rising, if that means anything to some of our listeners. And I am a hard driver. I'm very, very yang, as well as very, very yin. I'm very feminine, but I'm also very powerhouse when I have a cause to fight for. But when it comes to peak performance, I see it as total health and being on, being your highest energy, so that you're not clutching and stopping the flow of being able to do your best in any one situation. That's how I see it.
And we work, as all of you heard the show before, we're interested in aspects of you, your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, financial, all the different identities that you carry. You know, you're a son or a daughter, you're a mother or father, you're a brother or a sister, and you're all these simultaneously. So each one is a role. And if all the roles are working together, there's no conflict between them, then you're probably performing at your peak. When you get some resistance or some breakdown in some one of those aspects, then the whole begins to suffer and you're not at peak performance anymore. You may be high performance. A colleague and I have developed a process for a company to bring them into a peak performing organization. Mm. And it was one that started with an assessment. Good way to start. Where am I? You know, find out where you are to begin with, and then find out where they wanted to go. And then we had a roadmap that they actually constructed themselves. I think we had 8 different things that we wanted to work on. And we said, look, it doesn't make any difference which order you work on them in, but you do need to work on all 8 of them eventually, because if you don't, the one you leave out is going to be the thing that keeps you from being a high performing, peak performance organization. Hmm. So it's really fun when there's a team or a group involved. But I think what we're talking more about tonight is individual peak mm-hmm. performance in life, not necessarily in a business context.
No, definitely not in business, although that comes into play. But, mm-hmm. you know, another kind of team is a family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, someone listening here or multiple people listening here may be thinking, how could I get my family to be more aligned and have better relationships? I think peak performance is really in any area of your life, and it affects your relationships. It affects all the aspects and anything, like you said, you know, there are many aspects to a person and there are many aspects to your life. There are many arenas in which you are. Yeah. And so what I love, and I say this to my clients all the time, is something that is so simple as the domino effect. What I find with every client is that they come with a specific issue or challenge. And as we work on that issue or challenge, and we raise their, we up-level their capability, we up-level and change things for the better, it ricochets into the other aspects of their lives. And
it does.
So I
use the logjam metaphor the same way, that there's big logjam, and all you need to do, if you can find the one or two logs that are causing the jam, you move them and the whole thing breaks up and starts going down the river. So it's a looking for that leverage, you know, where's that point that you can apply? A lot of times, not very much energy to it is enough to move it, just enough to wiggle it, and then everything breaks loose and it goes. So
absolutely.
Just to start with a takeaway for people, a lot of people say, well, I just don't have time. I got so much on my plate now. How am I going to add peak performance to? So what I ask people to do is imagine that you are climbing a ladder. And you reach up and grab a rung and put your foot on the bottom rung, and then you pull up and reach up and grab another rung. And here's the problem. Unless you're willing to let go of something, you're not going to ever move again. You're stuck right there. And that one step one, you know. And then so my question to the client is, what is it in order to make the change that you want to make? What are you going to have to let go of? And a lot of people have never thought of it. They all think of it, add something else. But at some point, your day gets full. You don't have any more room, energy-wise or time-wise. So start thinking very judiciously about what is it that I spend a lot of time and energy on that's not taking me toward my goal, or it's not producing what I really want to produce, that I can let go of without seriously harming everything else that I've got in my life. And that opens up a real interesting dialogue with people about, well, how do you know what's important? And how do you know? You know, so then you get into the coaching part of it. But that idea of asking people, so in order to do this, what are you going to have to let go of in order to move? And it's an interesting place to start, I think.
It is. And I kind of talk about that everything has a payoff and a payout. It's kind of the way that energy works, you know, and you can't get rid of energy. It just moves. So one of the things that really helps people bring in a new energy into their lives is when they clean out a garage or a closet. Mm. All of a sudden, there's like this feeling of fresh air. So what you're saying makes total sense in every area of life. It's just, you got to let go. You got to pay out. And when you pay out, you get a pay off. And if you want that, and it also works, though, some people get a payoff from staying in the less than optimal performance. Mm-hmm. Some people have sort of a reverse idea of reward when they're staying in a pattern that's stopping them. And that's the other thing is, you know, some people don't believe that they're capable of peak performance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they settle for ordinary and they just don't know that they're doing that to themselves. They just feel like they're lost in this less than optimal ability to really create the life they want. And we're not talking about you have to become a millionaire and you have to have a most successful career. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what you want in your life and settling for less. And isn't it the truth, Dr. Art, that people say, or I don't know about people, but my understanding is that when people get to the end of their life, they regret more what they didn't do than what they did do.
They did it, yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that I use a lot, I have people come in and say, oh, I'm just a procrastinator, you know, and I say, well, I really don't believe in procrastination. I don't think there is such a thing. And they're, what? What do you mean? And I said, you know, it just seems to me that we do a very fast, unconscious cost-benefit analysis before we do anything. And the way a cost-benefit analysis works is, if I do this, what's it going to cost me? And on the other side, what am I going to get from it? What's the payoff? And if the payoff is lower than the cost, so I'm going to get 5 points of payoff, but it's going to cost me 10 points. Then I'm not going to do that. What I think is we're wired to make smart decisions. Mm-hmm. So in our particular cost-benefit analysis, not going to the gym or not eating properly or not getting enough rest, whatever it might be, there's not a high enough payoff to cause a person to want to do something different. So I have them do a very non-hypnotic thing. We get a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, put cost on one side, benefits on the other, and list them, all the things to find out what's in your equation. Because obviously, if it's something you really want to do, that's a conscious mind saying, yes, I want to go to the gym 3 days a week. I'm not doing it. Okay, so there must be something wrong with the cost-benefit analysis that's having the cost of doing that outweighs the benefit you get from it. So you got to figure out a way to lower the cost and increase the benefits. And as soon as that happens, when the benefits outweigh the cost, you're going to do it because you'd be stupid not to. And so we're saying procrastination, that's not stupid, that's smart. Because the way you've evaluated it, not a good deal. You got to change the equation in order to get there. And as soon as you do that, you'll find that you'll be able to engage in a lot of the things you wanted to do. They'll start happening spontaneously, because every cell in your body knows that this is a smart thing for us to do. And we're not doing something stupid and paying out a lot and not getting much for it. So anyway,
well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Done it, you know.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. I just think about how the majority of people, though, I believe, are wired to avoid pain and go towards pleasure.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it makes sense that what you're saying is to help them see, and this is, you know, in a way it's sales 101, is, you know, what's going to happen in 5 years if you don't do this thing? And that's the pain. So, but what happens if you do this thing? So it helps people. But Dr. Art, do you think that there are some people for whom peak performance comes naturally? Because there really aren't any overnight successes in the true sense. In if you looked at the stories behind successful people, whether it's in sports, whether it's in business, whether it's anything, acting, Hollywood, took them years of preparation and work. But do you think that there are people that just get in the zone of peak performance with very little trouble?
I do. I think there's some that have an easier time of it. But I heard a comedian one time saying, yeah, I worked on my craft, you know, going to little clubs and everything for 20 years, and suddenly I became an overnight success, you know. But it really wasn't overnight at all. It's all that stuff that preceded. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of hard work. A lot of people don't realize that the experiences that they're having is the hard work.
Hmm.
They try something, it doesn't work. They try something else, it doesn't work. They try something, it doesn't work. And then they find something that does, and then they jump on that and repeat it. And lo and behold, they become a success. So it requires effort and experience to get there. It may look easy from the outside, but I think even those people that look like, oh, well, they just didn't even have to work and they just suddenly got there. It's usually more to it when you get into it, when you do.
Absolutely. I'm going to do a station identification here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is New Reality Solutions on BBS Radio. And I'm Dr. Christina Winsey, and this is Dr. Art Emmerich. And we are here talking about Master Your Mind for Peak Performance. And so that's the topic tonight. We want to welcome you to call in and join the conversation or ask us a question, get laser coaching right on the air. If there are any brave souls out there that really want to talk to us, we welcome your call. And the phone numbers for calling in are right on the screen. Thank you so much to Thomas, who is our engineer. And if you're living in the U.S., you can call toll-free 1-888-627-6008. If you're outside the U.S., you can dial direct 1-323-744-4831. So thank you so much, Dr. Art, for all that wisdom. I think that, you know, what I love about what you've presented to are some of the most simple concepts that people can use, your tip of the week, and also this, you know, writing with the, and it's not new, the cost benefit, but these simple things are really the key for people to spend the time to figure out what's going to help them have better personal performance in the areas that they want. And so, folks, please take notes. And we are going to have a free handout for you at the end of the show. We have, what is it, Dr. Art? I think we have 27, a summary of personal techniques to get peak performance from your mind-body system. So if you want that, by the way, Thomas, if you could show the email, you would dial contactnrshow@gmail.com. That's contact N for new, R for reality, show@gmail.com. So, for some people, it does come pretty naturally. It does come pretty easily. You had sent me something about the mental game and how we can change our brain to access more capabilities. Do you want to talk about that at all?
I would love to, but I'm not tracking with you. I don't know what that
Oh, I apologize. It's the mental game of preparation, the all-important mental preparation for creating peak performance. And there were three things, which were imagery, self-talk, and pre-performance routines.
Okay, yeah.
And I think those are, you know, this was specifically about sports.
Right.
But it's good for just about anything.
For everything,
so,
yeah. Well, the imagery is stuff, of course, that we use a lot with our clients with just use your imagination. A lot of times, among my first questions are, what do you want? And a lot of my clients just have a great difficulty saying that. I tell you what I don't want. And I said, well, that isn't going to help. That isn't going to help. Say, what do you want? And I want you to tell me as if I were your photographer. And I've got a big camera on my shoulder, and I'm going to follow you around, and you tell me, I want that, or I want this, I want that, and describe what it is I'm supposed to be taking a picture of, because that's the language that your unconscious uses. Mm. It uses the language of raw sensory data. What does it look like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? What does it feel like? All those are at work to inform your unconscious. In addition to all the things that you're taking care of these 50 trillion cells that I've got, you're running every system and subsystem in my body in the background. But I have this other thing that I want you to do. Not a problem. We have no idea how many things the unconscious is capable of doing all at the same time in the background without any interference or contact with us. But in order to do that, it has two things are required. One is you got to show me what it is. Don't tell me. I'm not good with words. I can hear you saying, I could not hardly fail to disagree with you less. They would say, what? Are you? I don't know. That's a triple negative or something. So you got to give it a picture. 1,000 words, as they say, pictures worth. So give it a video of what you want. The second thing it requires is that it knows how is that going to cause you to feel. When you get that, how do you feel? And if somebody says, Oh, that'd be nice. You know, I'm going to say, not very important. I'm not going to spend a lot of energy working on that because you don't think it's that important. So the picture and the actually generating the emotions that you have when that becomes reality for you has to be repeated. One time, the unconscious sees it. Whoa, look at that. He wants this. She wants that. I never saw it again. Must not have been that important. So even with strong emotion, you've got to repeat it because most of us have a not very good rapport internally between our conscious and our unconscious. So what that means is our unconscious has learned, if you tell me something one time, I will hear you. But if you really want me to act on it, you're going to have to repeat it a number of times. Now, laboratory experiments and hypnosis say that in order to install a brand new behavior pattern, it takes about 2 months if it's a complex. Now, if it's, I want to drink 5 glasses of water a day, doesn't take that long for that. But if I want to change my life in some significant way, then it's probably going to take longer. And all that longer is installing a new behavior into your neurology that spontaneously comes out. Without your having to do anything about it. So one of the other tips I'd love to throw in is about people's motivation. As we understand it, there are two kinds of motivation. There's one called toward motivation. That means I have a goal and I want to move toward it. So I can test all the time. Is what I'm getting ready to do taking me toward my goal or not? So that's a little test you can perform. And that motivation, as you get closer and closer to your goal, usually the amount of energy increases. You're getting excited. Oh boy, it's coming pretty soon. I'm getting really revved up over this. That's a good thing. The other kind of emotion is called away from emotion. Now, you're talking to Dr. Chris about people who naturally seem to fall into high performance without seeming to work at it. It may be that they've learned that I can use away from emotion as a starter. There's a lot of energy to get away from stuff you don't like. You know, boy, you can really. They're getting ready to put a garbage disposal right next to my house. I think I will move, and I think I'll do it pretty quick, I want to get away from that. But away from doesn't tell you where to go. Mm-hmm. You go north, south, east, west, you go to another town, you go to another state, where that's open. So you got to pair the away from motivation, which is very strong, good starter upper, but then the sustaining one is the toward. You got to have a goal. And so many people of us are out there, we're working so hard and we have no idea what our goal is. We haven't established one. We haven't formed one that is really taking us closer and closer to what we want. So this imagery with a strong emotion of satisfaction or joy or relief or whatever it is that you feel repeated, that gives your unconscious the information it needs to really move on it. But make sure you're using both toward and away from motivation, particularly toward. A lot of times you don't even need away from. If the toward is strong enough, you can get moving and really do it.
Yeah.
A little kicker sometimes is to use that away from to get you moving.
And that goes right in line with what you talked about regarding the list with the line down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So it's a similar type of thing. The other pieces of this mental game that sports psychologist Martin Turner shared had to do with, so first was imagery that you just spoke about. So Dr. Art said the subconscious mind is aware of pictures and feelings. So that's the first part. The next part is self-talk. And we actually already talked about self-talk how important it is what you say to yourself, whether it's your cells in your body or whether it's how you talk to yourself about something that you want to accomplish. And if you're saying, I don't think I can do this, or this isn't something that I've ever been good at, and you're talking yourself out of it, because we can easily talk ourselves out of things that we really want, but our doubt sets in, and the way that we are telling ourselves that we can't do it, what's the phrase, those who say they can't, and those who say they can.
Yeah.
So, self-talk. But the other piece that he ends with is the pre-performance routines.
Just wanted to put a comment in.
Yeah.
The research says about 80% of our self-talk is negative.
Mm-hmm.
It's us tearing ourselves down or criticizing ourselves, overly critical. And so there are ways to get hold of self-talk that are kind of interesting. It's hard to change the words sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Change the voice. Whose voice is talking to you? A lot of times people say, well, it's mine. And others will say, oh, it's that high school teacher that I had, or a priest, or somebody important. And that's what I hear, these, don't do that. That was stupid. You shouldn't. And they hear it in a voice. So change the voice.
Yes.
Especially good if you can change it to Donald Duck.
That's the best one. Yes.
And see what Dr. Chris is doing? That's exactly the reaction you want, because laughter is a negative emotion destroyer.
Yes.
So if you can hear that talk and then laugh about it, the sting, the emotional impact of it has just been completely eliminated.
It's so true.
If you can't manage another voice, change the speed. Speed it up. Oh, that's a stupid thing you did. Why'd you do that? Oh, that's terrible. And then you laugh again, Or you can slow it down and say, why did you do that? You shouldn't. And make it funny. And as soon as you laugh, you've punched it right away.
It's priceless, Dr. Art. It's so true. I do that with my clients. If they're stuck on something, I say, okay, I want you to be like a robot. You're going to say it over and over again, and I'm going to do something, and I don't want you to stop. And then I sing Yankee Doodle Dandy in the middle of them, and they break up. And it's just totally gone. They can't keep it.
Excuse me. You were on to number three.
I was on to number three, but you had some very important things to say. The third thing he talks about is pre-performance preparation or routines. And this is another thing that, those who fail to plan to fail. Mm. So it's not just a routine, but it's also that you've taken the time to plan things out. So it's both. But this Martin Turner, a sports psychologist, is talking specifically about a routine. So he is saying that you want to be sure you are, you know, like he's got Olympic gold medal winner Mo Farah, for example, listens to music, sleeps, drinks coffee, and then gets himself psyched up for the race prior to his performances. And this routine helps him stay in control of his mental state. Well, you know, baseball players are very superstitious. They have their little ways of doing things over and over again before a game. And but I think we all have routines that we're used to doing. And if your routine is not supporting what you want to achieve, then it's time to look for a new routine. But I would say that one of the best routines for getting peak performance out of each day is to have a morning routine of success. If you spend time planning in the morning, if you spend time looking at quietly for 10, 15 minutes, what is it that's most important today? Six things, just six things. This is, you know, this is not new news. It's just, it's something that we don't do because of busyness, because we think I just don't have time, like you said earlier. And so very important to plan and to have a routine. And as Dr. Art said, it takes 2 months to get a new behavior be a routine. So, you know, instead of making excuses, find that 15 minutes and make sure that you plan your day. And if you have something that you are looking to create peak performance in, then like this Olympic gold medalist, what do you do before you're going to do this thing? If you're not performing at the level that you want, then what routine can you create that will get you ready? So if you want to be more fit, are you getting enough sleep? Are you, what do you do to maintain your nutrition so that you have the most energy for your workouts? I don't know, Dr. Art, am I straying off the topic? I think there's other aspects to routines.
Not at all. I run into it mostly when I work with golfers. They have a pre-shot routine. If they have been playing golf very long, they know exactly what I'm talking about. I say, if you depart from that, make sure that whatever changes you make are changes that you intend to repeat. The main thing about routine is, and our unconscious loves routine. It loves repetition. Mm-hmm. And so, in fact, that's what allows us to operate without thought, like driving a car, because we've been through the routine. Here's how you steer. Here's how you manage speed. Here's how you manage direction. Here's, you know, and we do it so often that pretty soon your unconscious says, okay, I got it. I'll do it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But it took repetition to get that installed, the muscle memory, all of the firing of the sequence of different things. And that pre-shot or could be just a pre-anything routine allows your whole system to say, oh, I know what we're getting ready to do now. I know how to do that. But if you do it without any routine at all, your system is just wide open saying, I have no idea what we're getting ready to do, but I'll give it my best. I'll try, you know. And that routine is, you could call it rehearsal. It's what actors and performers do all the time. You wouldn't think about going to a play if you found out that the people hadn't rehearsed at all, you know. So what rehearsal means is that everybody and every part of us, if it's just us, knows what's coming. Been there, done that. I know how to handle it, and I can do it well. So if I'm working with a client who's getting ready for surgery, maybe had never been to a hospital before, I go through, okay, you're going to get all your stuff together. You're going to go check in. They're going to give you a little plastic band on your wrist, and it's got some information on it, and they're going to come and ask you for that over and over and over. What's your name? What's your date of birth? Why are you here? It's not that they don't know. They want to know that you know and that they've got the right person at home. The next thing they're going to do is take all your clothes away from you and give you this little peek-a-butt gown to wear, you know, that and then put you on a trolley, and then they may
so undignified.
You know, how undignified. And then they're going to maybe give you some medication to calm you down a little bit or whatever, and they're going to get you prepped so far. And then they'll come and say, okay, the operating room's now ready for you. And so they'll wheel you down the hall, and you can look up and watch the ceiling tiles go by, you know, one after another. Mm-hmm. And there's usually one wheel that goes blup, 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 you know, it's that. And you can hear that. And you get to these doors, they open up, and you'll be in the brightest room you've ever been, and it's cold. And so all that's just rehearsal. So that when it happens, it won't happen exactly that way, maybe, but their whole system would say, oh, I've rehearsed this. I've been here. I know what's going to come. That's a calming thing. It really, to know what's coming. Your whole body wants, that's why you talk to your body. You tell your body, by the way, in a minute, they're going to saw my leg in half, and they're going to take my knee joint out, and they're going to put a new one in, and then they're going to sew it all back
together.
If your system didn't know that's coming, guess what? It's in total panic.
Yeah.
But once you tell it, then when it happens, they told me this was going to happen. I'm ready. That's good.
Oh, my God.
It's experts are doing it. It's all planned. We're going to be better off in the long run. And we got to get through this, okay? But we're ready. We rehearsed. We planned for it. Mm-hmm. So the value of that it's just hard to estimate how important it is that you give your body and your mind-body system as much opportunity to say, "Oh yeah, I know what's coming. I've been there. I've done that. I've rehearsed it visually.
Yes,
visualization of it." You know, and it's a comfort to your system to know.
It's not a comfort to me to know that the leg's going to be sewn and cut in half. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you got to acknowledge the truth of it. You know, if you say, well, they're just going to tinker around with my leg, and then all of a sudden they bring out this saw, and everybody's, wait a minute, you didn't tell me. Tell the truth, you know, as much as you know. And you can use different words. You can use different words. It won't be a saw. Maybe it'll be something else. But a way for you to prep yourself is a routine, is a pre-performance routine. No matter the performance, as Dr. Chris said, can be today's a new day. That's my performance area that I want to plan. How am I going to be in this day? I get a choice about that. You know, I can be happy. I can be sad. I can be excited. I can be bored. I can be all these different ways, but they're choices. Pick the roses.
Absolutely.
Poison Ivy.
Well, you know, on that note, I want to talk about the anxiety people have about performance.
Sure.
And what really I think stops a lot of people from peak performance, and you do this with test anxiety and hypnosis, is the anxiety of the test. It's the anxiety of the I don't know whether it's the game, that the sports game, whether it's the anxiety of not being able to hit the ball on the golf course, or the anxieties that come through life where we're on stage, so to speak. We're on, and we want to perform. We want to get the goods. And so we get anxious, and it stops us oftentimes. We were talking earlier about, for some people, peak performance is a thrill, and they do it naturally. And for some people, peak performance seems unreachable because of anxiety and other self-talk and things that stop them. And so One of the things that that is interesting to me is the performance psychologist, university lecturer, and former professional ballet dancer, Associate Professor Jean Moyle, who states that instead of most people say, all right, if I'm anxious, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to do mindfulness, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to try and calm down. Well, when your blood is racing and you're in that fight or flight mm-hmm. and you're worried and scared, that's just not what she found to work. What she said is, instead, you want to reframe your anxiety into excitement. Mm-hmm. And that when you think about, wow, the game is coming and I'm going to be, you know, the quarterback and I'm going to be out there doing this great stuff and we're going to win. I don't know, you know, anything about football. But she talks about how reframing the anxiety into something positive so that you're actually excited, because those two states are very similar, excitement and anxiety. Right. In excitement, your blood is pumping, you're breathing deeper, you're more adrenaline is flowing. Same thing with anxiety. The thing is, in anxiety, you are running the worst case scenario as opposed to the best case scenario. So you want to really be focusing on what is so great that could happen, instead of what is so bad that can happen.
Bad, yeah. Yes. I think it's really interesting. If you watch baseball, they focus a whole lot on the pitchers. You will see pre-pitch routines that are totally different from one pitcher to another. But once you see what a person does who's pitching before they throw the ball, notice it's exactly the same every time. They hold their hands up, they look this way, they look this way.
Yes.
They wiggle their butt a little bit, they put their hat on, you know, they did whatever it is, it'll be exactly the same every time, because that's the way they alert their body. I'm getting ready to throw a pitch, and I want you to come up with your best pitch that you got available. We practice this a lot, so you know what's coming. And then they throw the ball.
Right.
Catcher throws the ball back to them. They go right back through that same routine again before they throw. And so you can pick out some of these things that professionals have learned is very important to do. Sometimes you see these golfers, if you ever get a chance to see them up close, you'll see this kind of a... Like they're just there's nobody there, you know, they're inside somewhere and they're just like they're gone and they're taking the shot, you know, they're making that shot internally. And I always tell them, you know, you got to give your information to your unconscious so that it knows what to do. Your unconscious does not know how to play golf. It thinks it's the stupidest game in the world. You run around, you hit this ball, you run after it. As soon as you catch up with it, you hit it again. And finally it goes down in a little hole and everybody cheers or not or whatever. You pick it up, do the same thing. You put it down on the ground and hit it again. This makes no sense. So you have to really work at teaching your whole system what it is you want it to do, because it's not going to instinctively figure this out. You really got to cover every aspect of what you're doing. That's this mental rehearsal, this getting ready, you know, of getting your whole system ready to perform.
And getting excited about it instead of anxious about it. Yes.
It's so funny. There was a hypnotist that was tentatively hired to work with one of the pro football teams. And he went in and the general manager said, so what are you going to tell these people? What are you going to do? And he said, well, you know, if you're going to go into a nice hypnotic trance, you need to just relax and just calm down. But he said, can't go in there then. I don't want these people relaxed. I want them to be as fired up as they can possibly be. Well, this poor hypnotist had never thought about, oh, yeah, there are other kind of trances too. They're not all... gentle, soft, relaxing things. That some of the performance, if you're getting ready to go into a prize fight, you do not want to be all relaxed and slowed down.
Definitely so, not.
So you adapt to whatever the sport or the particular activity may not be a sport. What does it require of me behaviorally? And how do I get into that mindset and that body set so that I can be successful?
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Art, we have run out of time.
Oh,
again.
No.
Oh, yes. Folks, we're so grateful that you joined us. Next week is how to attract what you want into your life with more ease. And we're going to be talking about ways that you can really bring to you what it is that you want with the law of attraction. Meanwhile, we have a wonderful handout that has these 27 tips of and techniques to get peak performance from your mind-body system. If you would like them, you simply want to email contactnrshow@gmail.com. That's contact N as in new, R as in reality, show@gmail.com. If you've enjoyed the show, we hope you'll consider coming back and being a subscriber to help us keep the lights on. And gosh, this went by so fast, Dr. Art. Thank you so much for all your wisdom.
Well, thank you too. We once again, I think we're a good team.
I think so. Yeah. So thank you, everybody. We hope to see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.